You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. Hard-hitting analysis.
He was in the Tabby's locker room before the game, and you can laugh at it, you can scoff at it. The fact is, it worked.
No, we was never better or bigger than this.
Sure, I guess you could call it that.
You got to ride Ric Flair and his coattails all the way to the Grey Cup.
Woo!
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Marcellus Wiley will join us from L.A. around 5:30. We'll look back on the Monday night or last night briefly, not long. I mean, that's Niners-Giants. Nobody cares about those two teams. In terms of this season, I mean, they've got big fan bases, but they're both out of the playoffs. And although I love the kind of heroics that come out of the winning team when it's a bad game like that, because Odell Beckham Jr. was like, we got seven more wins, and we're going to push our way back into the playoff picture. There's no way he actually believes that.
No.
There's no way they think they can win out.
Everyone knows you don't believe that, so stop saying it.
Yeah.
I think anyone that's a sports fan know what you don't believe it, so stop the nonsense.
They're 2-7.
I think he was asked about a play where he was wide open and Eli didn't give him the ball, and he was like, it's okay. Pulled out the win.
Yeah, now he's a super fan of Eli, and he's Mr. Team.
Wrong.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, he played well last night. He hit a couple of touchdowns, and credit to the Giants. Someone's got to win that game. You know, the Niners are on their third-string quarterback, and they're out of it, and they've been out of it for a long time, but you're 2-7. You're not winning seven games in a row now. You're not getting back into the playoff picture.
Right.
I just don't need to hear that kind of stuff.
You don't want to hear the false bravado? Is that what it'd be called?
Well, let's keep it in L.A.
Like, realistic.
Like, the Kings are in a bad spot, right? The Leafs are in L.A. taking on the Kings. We saw them in Toronto a couple of weeks ago, and the Leafs, they just kind of dusted them aside. The Kings have something's wrong with Kopitar. He had the greatest year of his career last year. He can't do anything this year.
Yeah, they look
something's
bad.
Something's wrong.
Yeah, the whole group looks bad overall.
Yes, and they fired their coach, and they're down to their third-string goaltender. Tonight's a game where you're fear the Leafs. You're chomping at the bit. Let's get out there.
Yeah.
But let's say the Kings win tonight, and Kopitar or Doughty come out and go, that's the one for us. Now we're going to take off and return to the level of success that we expect. Do you think that would be truthful?
No, because their goaltender is not playing.
Yeah.
And their backup goaltender is not playing, and Peter Budaj is not taking you anywhere.
Yeah, so they're done. Their season is over.
I think the proper way to go about it is you say, you know what, it's a step in the right direction. Hopefully we can build off it. But to say that's the one we needed, that's our game.
That was their TSN turning point last night.
No, there's no way. It's the Niners. They're brutal. You're 2-7.
But you know how guys get all jacked up. Like I don't know how many times I've told you this. You play with players. I'm not going to name names, but we're losing 4-0,
and they score that 4-1 goal.
Come on, guys,
let's go, let's go.
Standing up on the bench and yucking it up.
With so many,
the
just
speeches,
so painful.
The speeches in between periods, but then we win 4-1, and that guy doesn't get a sniff of a point. The most miserable person on earth. Like that's how they're wired, right? It's I wouldn't say it's disingenuous. It's just
that's exactly what it is, Jamie.
Well,
it sounds selfish, really.
That's the word. It's more like this is a guy who, you know, basically measures his game by not how I played and helped the team. Like, I got points.
Did I do what I'm supposed to do?
But ultimately, those guys, the way that they're wired, they think if they score, they are helping the team, which they are, but not in a 5-2 rinsing. Like,
There's a lot of guys, if they get on the scoreboard, goal or an assist, they sleep well at night.
Yeah.
They
I used to say,
well
like, Miro Shatan in Buffalo, that guy would be the greatest player in a 5-2 loss. But it wasn't his fault, the team around him, but I just always felt like that guy. And I never played with him. That's not the guy I'm talking about. I'm just saying, like, there are certain players I can look around the league and be like, there's even goaltenders. I know goaltenders. There's one starter in the league right now that I would term he's one of the best goaltenders that'll give you a 4-2 loss and stop 40 shots.
Mm-hmm. So save percentage, he ends up with a 923 on the night.
But like, does he get you to the next level? And it's you know, somebody that plays out west. It's not.
I think I know who it is.
Yeah.
I got a good idea.
Anyways.
Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What's up, Ray?
Just found the kids' Halloween candy.
Nice.
You're still doing that.
Oh, but I just found it. I think Cammy hid it from me.
That would make sense. And 2 weeks later, I mean,
but are you at the bottom of the barrel though? Like, is it the O. Henry's, and or is it still the good stuff, the Reese peanut butter cup?
Oh no, for me, I just found a boatload of coffee crisps.
Oh, I'm a fan.
That's a great haul.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy. And then I took like a handful of suckers and put them in the like the little Jiffy Pop ones. They got little tiny ones now. And so I'm like so pumped. They're in my glove box thingy there. That so you know when I'm driving to the airport, I can have a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah,
oh, I thought you were going to say you threw them in the garbage because I usually go through the any candy that I don't like, it goes right in the garbage. Like that's it. I'm not going to run it through the household. It's just you know there's certain ones that you can I think are complete duds, and I just don't want them around the house, so they go in the garbage.
Well, see, I'm not that Cammy would say anything, but I feel like a 10-year-old here. Like when I eat the candy bars, like I take the wrappers and put them in a garbage that I know she doesn't check. I don't want her to say like, "You've eaten 47 chocolate bars." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm aware of that. It's my one kryptonite. I just can't stop."
No, nobody can.
No,
nobody can. You just there's no self-control. And it's actually a great racket. You know, whoever created this whole racket, they're just...
The mini bars,
because you might as well get a big bar. You end up eating 15 of them.
You know where my wrappers go, and I have to clean them out? You drive with them, so they go in your door, like the the side of the door there. If you check the side of my door...
Just a dumpster.
Like that, the car is very nice, but the door has... Like Kit Kats and whatever else, you know, the mini, the O. Yeah. Henry, Reese.
Just a trail that people
exactly.
know what
that would
you've
be
been
the
up
forensic
to.
Trail of my candy eating.
I will say the best part about the small bar, though, is that you can enjoy a variety. Otherwise, now when I look at a big chocolate bar, I'm like, I don't want a whole Aero bar. I just want like those two little square things that come in the mini ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is true. You can mix in like six different brands
that
in
is,
one
that's
sitting.
A good call.
And I am right now.
Yeah, it's a great point.
But they don't have many Big Turks, which they should.
It's an oxymoron. You can't have that. We were joking about it earlier that Matthews is on the road in California, and we were trying to determine the line in terms of importance and in terms of players on the depth chart where Babcock would look at him and say, "You're not coming on the trip." Like, I don't care that you're injured or whatever, and you would like to be hanging around with your buddies. You're not coming on the trip. And I think we said Connor Brown would just get in. But anyone beyond that, like Josh Levo, Frederick Gauthier, you're not coming to California. You're staying
so
home.
You're not buying the, well, if you got three kids, you're busy and you can stay home.
No. No.
I thought that was a rather arbitrary line myself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's certain guys, they barely get taken along when they're on the roster.
No kidding. That's the truth. I mean, we're joking about it, but I would guess Matthews probably made it clear. I would like to go to California. That would be a fun trip. I'd like to be on the road. And
I've got friends out there, blah, blah, blah.
That's a guy you're willing to pay for the extra room and the extra seat.
And by the way, when you go to San Jose, I'm not. I'm staying back, and I'll meet you in Anaheim.
Right. That's a good question. Do you think he'll make the flight to San Jose, or does he just stay in L.A.?
No, I think he's got. I think they're going to make. Well,
I think if you go on the trip, you got to do it.
Yeah,
yeah,
you got to go, right? But here's the other thing. Like with some guys, you hear you know almost all the time. Oh, I know it's better when they stay back because we got our training staff, but now it's better for him to be on the road. Look, the three of us have been hurt and been on the road. The practices stink.
Yeah.
Because when you're out on the ice, you want, you know, they want to skate you a little more, or do a little more, and everybody's yelling at you, "Come on, we got to get on the bus. Let's go. Let's get moving." And so you're kind of like you're a spare part for sure on the road. Like you're not really included in anything. And so morning skate, you stand out there and don't get in the way until they finish. And then they skate you for a little bit of time. And then you go back and eat the pregame meal. And I don't know. I'd rather be on the road with the guys. Man, it's boring when you're back by yourself. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, I could picture that for sure. I understand what Babcock is saying. I don't think it's consistent throughout the lineup.
No, it is the point.
I don't think the seventh defenseman, if he's got that same injury, he's coming to California.
Ray, we joked that Freddie the Goat, if he blows his knee out, he's going back to Val d'Or to rehab it.
Poor Goat, eh?
I know.
We love the guy,
but it's...
No, but it's exactly what you say. Sorry, Freddie.
Yeah. You can't stay in Toronto either. You've got to get out. Very different rules for different players. And we were talking about the Nylander stuff like we do every day, but we haven't really discussed how Matthews would be viewing this, because it sounds as if that pitch to Tavares back in late June came with the idea and the acceptance that Marner will be riding shotgun with him, at least for this year. I don't think they said, we can guarantee you he's going to play with you for 7 years.
Right.
But it kind of sounds like that was a part of the pitch. Marner's with you, and Nylander is with Matthews. Now, if it turns out they end up deciding they have to trade him, and they bring back a defenseman or multiple pieces that don't include a top-line right winger, how do you think Matthews responds when he finds out, okay, I don't have Nylander anymore on my wing, and apparently Marner and Tavares have to play together? Who am I playing with?
Well, I've never really thought of it like that, but it doesn't sound like that's a very smooth spot. Because for all the accolades and props that Kasperi Kapanen has earned with a great start, he's not William Nylander. They don't have anybody like that, I don't think, to play with him. That becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it really, when you think of it, I'm honestly, guys, I've not even thought of it that way, but that would become, that's an issue. Because you can't go just get another winger, because the reason they're in this spot is because of the cap problems or cap potential problems. And so you're bringing in a defenseman. I assume he's making a significant amount of money or a decent amount of money. It's not like you've got all kinds of extra cap room. Like that's a really interesting point. That's a tough one, because you can look at Tavares as the type of a player that, in, 6 months ago, was a franchise player in New York. But you wouldn't say that here because of Matthews. Matthews is your franchise player, and now you got one of them is going to be short one of those wingers if that's what comes to pass. That's a difficult way. Marner's got to feel like the most popular kid at the dance, right? Like, everybody's asking him to dance. Everybody wants Marner to play with them. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, here's something that I would just float and thinking out loud here. How much of the drop-off is Nylander to Kapanen? Like, if we both project, like, and let's not forget, Nylander has had 60 points in back-to-back seasons playing with Matthews for the most part. I mean, Matthews was injured, but he's played the lion's share of minutes with Austin Matthews. So, Ray, I know we've talked about this before, and you always say the difference isn't replacing a player, it's the gap between player X and player Y. If you believe that you're going to run into, and again, I know this is ridiculous because I still believe they'll work it all out and things will happen, but if you're going to believe that you're going to run into some cap issues or whatever, you have to look at the difference between Nylander and Kapanen and say, how much is that gap? And could Austin Matthews bridge that gap by playing with Kapanen?
I think it's significant. And the thing I think of first is Nylander's playmaking ability that yes, Kapanen just doesn't have.
Correct.
Matthews got a fabulous shot. We marvel at his release and the way that he can score. And Nylander will get him the puck that Kapanen can't. In my mind, it's not even close between the two of them. And I hate saying that, because now it seems like I'm kicking Kapanen and like, oh, he's no good, but I don't think I don't think he has the skill. I don't think he's got the hands or the vision that Nylander has. I think that's what separates Nylander in a lot of cases from some really good players to what I think he can be. Like, I think Nylander should be a 70-point guy. I know that's a lot of points, but at 25-45, that to me is something that is in Nylander's wheelhouse a lot.
Yeah, I think that's achievable.
It is.
And listen, Kapanen has played well. Kapanen has looked good. And if that's a guy who's on your third line, then you really feel good about yourself.
Yeah, you're in good shape, yeah.
But it's, you know, you're asking him to jump up two lines effectively. If Matthews is your big dog, which he is, that's the conundrum that comes with it. And I wonder if that factors into the approach to a potential trade. If it gets to that point, we've all just conceded it's going to be for a defenseman. What if it's not? What if it's for a winger? What if it's winger for winger?
Yeah.
I don't know who that would be, but maybe that's a part of the thought process.
Well, Brian, like, if you know, everybody keeps reporting that Carolina's really interested, and you know, they've got a, you know, they're flush with defensemen. But what if it's a bigger deal? To your point, what if it is partly to see if they can replace one of the forwards that, you know, if Nylander leaves, would be to replace that spot, or not necessarily with the player coming in, but with another NHL forward. And a defenseman. You might have to send back one of your high draft picks. You know, like, I don't know, maybe it's a bigger deal. I don't think anything would be off the table if they're going ahead to move Nylander. That's one step. The second step is, okay, what is it? And I think, you know, I think it could be several different options that could spur out of one talk, right?
Well, the first step, Ray, is if Carolina's going to pay this kid what he wants, because if they're not going to do it, there's no deal anyway.
Right. Yeah, there's whoever's... I think that's one thing that, you know, like when we were talking, I think, you know, when Joel Quenneville got fired, we're like, well, who would be interested? We'll start off with who can pay him first.
Right.
And that cuts... Whoever's interested, that cuts it in about a third.
I think the gravy train for coaches might be over.
I just wonder if he's the outlier. You know, I agree with you that I don't think they're going to get paid, although it's still a recent movement anyway. Babcock's only been here for a few years, but Quenneville...
Hey, Barry Trotz just signed a big deal.
Yeah, $20 million.
He got paid pretty well.
Yeah.
I think it's still there.
I think owners and GMs are going to go to Cora in Boston. $800,000, we want us a championship, so why the hell, regardless of what you think you are, we're not giving you $5 million. And the owners and GM, the GMs want to be such control freaks. They're just like, we want a lesser light in there, $800,000, and we control the strings, and they do what we say, and they listen, and there's no pushback, and we win.
The only problem with that, I would say, is then the owners or the GMs put their ass right in the sling, and they might not be willing to be that bold.
Yeah.
Like if you're Peter Chiarelli and you've made that comment, you got problems. Because whether Todd McClellan's a good coach or not, that roster is full of holes.
Yes.
Right.
Well, I wanted to get to Edmonton, and I was going to ask you about Quenneville. If he got spotted at the West Edmonton Mall today, you can just imagine the buzz. Like, what's this guy doing in town? Because they've got Montreal at their building this evening, and Edmonton's lost four in a row. They're playing Koskinen in their backup because Talbot has been a gas can the past four outings. They've gone back to the Draisaitl's got to play with McDavid. It kind of feels like they're already in a position here. And I know they spun it around quickly. They had a kind of a poor start, and they got rolling. But now they're 500.
I think they'll be eighth. I understand
you've always been consistent with that. But something's got to give here. Like, they need – I still think the same issues we had are still there. You know, they're still top.
Well, they got to get a save.
Top heavy.
Like Cam Talbot, they got
to
get a save.
Milan Lucic can pretend like he knows how to score a goal too.
Yeah,
they need him to wake up.
They need him to get going.
But
Go ahead, Ray.
Oh, I was just saying, like, they've now this is what I don't like about the Draisaitl thing is with McDavid is they're top heavy anyway. Now they tip over. You know, with putting them both together. Holy smokes. Like everything sits on that line. I didn't realize Lucic has two goals in 63 games. If he doesn't have an ironclad contract, he's out of the league.
Did you say 2 in 63?
That's five on five, though. I think he has power play, isn't that?
He might have chipped
I think
in a
he
couple
does.
Power players.
But... Thought, you know what? So he's one or two in 18? this year? Is there, they played 18, 17?
Yeah, he's got one this year in 18.
Yeah, they played 17 or 18.
One in 18, and I want to – I don't think – I can't
– yeah, we'd have to look at it, but you're right. Like, I think there's a power play.
Is there – if they're good, I hope there's 20 power play goals in there.
You don't
– I know there's not.
Here's – oh, go ahead.
It's ridiculous. They're so thin on the wings that they can't support two lines. Like, how crazy is that? You get the best player – and you're on a team that doesn't have enough talent.
Yeah, McDavid is absolutely the best player in the world. And
here's the thing I think that they're thinking, though. Take a look at, we just talked about top-heavy teams. Like Colorado has one line and then three number three lines, would you say? You know, with Calvert and, like, I think they're looking at that and saying, okay, we're going to roll out. Now, I think that's not going to last. I think Draisaitl will go back. It's just, it may be a short-term fix until somebody wakes up there. You know, I like the fact that they sent Puljujärvi down. He's got terrible habits. Terrible.
Yamamoto's gone back.
Yamamoto
down too,
should have, because yeah. Those two are
but
good
those are
young players.
Two previous first-round picks that but they had
both,
hopes they got, for.
They're
me,
both going to be fine.
Let me jump in here. Let me jump in. I just Googled up here, and if you want me to try and explain two goals in 63 games, I don't know what to tell you, Lucic said.
That's what it was. So that's what he's got, then.
Two in 63.
Wow.
He's two ahead of us,
though. He's making $6 million a year.
Yep.
Well, he's got to get going.
Well.
Get going.
Maybe he can.
Last year he had to get going, and he couldn't. I don't know. I don't know what's
– like,
what do you do, though?
They put their eggs in a right wing position of Puljujärvi, who's clearly just trying to figure out what the hell's going on. He's, I don't know, he's not made any impact. I think he should have been in the American League 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as he could have, he should have played there and stayed there, but he's been kind of in and out, not playing, and now he's back down there. Yamamoto was their other right winger, and so was Ty Ratty. That was their top three right wingers, along with Zach Cashin. There's the right wing position.
Yeah.
How do you go into the year and say, yeah, we're going to be fine with that? Because you're not.
Yeah, and then the Chiasson has got six now, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he was there on a PTO.
Yeah, he was actually found
like
money for them.
Yeah, it's an accident.
Yeah.
So I think they, Noodles, I know you say eight. I picked them out. And
Well,
and
they could be easily out, too. If Talbot doesn't.
That was one of the reasons for me.
Like,
not enough.
If Talbot doesn't wake up, they don't make the playoffs. That's the way I see it. Like, you need a save, and they're not getting it. And Koskinen, they spent $2.5 million on a backup, and he's given them value. But he's got to do it again tonight.
Well, you know, he's Carey Price is playing tonight, I believe.
No, Niemi's playing.
They're not playing Price again.
They gave Price
mental
the
rest.
Week off.
Are you serious?
Yeah, both of those starters given the week off.
Wow.
Which is a smart move, if you ask me, because you can play him Thursday night against Calgary.
Okay, but, you know, without knowing the details of how it came about, like, did Price ask for it?
No. He won the other night. So
no,
they,
I know that. He won 5-4 or whatever. The guy didn't make 60 stops in a shutout. I mean, it was a bit of a debacle against Vegas. But, so what happened here? Because I'm not privy to this. They just went to Price and said, you're not playing for a week.
No. They just are giving, like, they're giving Niemi the start tonight, and they're out west.
Doesn't that seem strange to you?
No.
He's $10.5 million goalie.
Yeah.
And he's just not playing.
No, he's probably play next game. What's the big deal?
Are you being serious right now? You don't think that's a big deal?
I don't. You want to get
guys. So if Freddie Anderson, it's just, we're giving Freddie the night off tonight. Freddie's
they
not playing.
They don't have a quality backup. Here in Toronto.
What, Antti Niemi is the next Johnny Bauer?
Take a look at his numbers.
Come
the guy
on,
wins.
Noodles, come on. I mean,
I'm just
let's
saying
be
that
honest here. I wasn't aware of it. I probably should have been. I just assumed he was playing. It's Carey Price.
Yeah. It's both of them. Like, Cam
the
Talbot
Twitter
and
feed
Price.
I read is both Talbot and Price.
Talbot I can understand because, well, I don't know if I can understand that, but
well,
Carey
Price hasn't exactly been lighting up the league either.
I understand that, but
they just said mental breaks for both.
Yeah,
for $10.5 million.
Well, no kidding. It's somewhat shocking where a guy, but if he's not playing well, I don't know what the hell the answer is.
You got to get wins. That's what you got to do. And right now, both of them aren't playing well.
But
so.
If you, I think what he's trying to say, Jamie,
you guys
is if
they're so pampered, they tell us just that you guys suck.
Right.
Go run into somebody or go do something. You guys get a break and you get to relax and work on your details.
You know
and,
what it is? It's you can hide a player in the lineup. You can't hide a goalie. If the goalie's not playing well, you don't play him. If a guy's not playing well, you can hide him. You can play him 12 minutes and shuffle him to the side and have protected minutes. You can't do that for a goalie.
I got traded 28 years ago today. They tried to hide me, and then they found the place. It was Long Island.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
leave us alone. You're out.
And then you had me to play with, and that you had to look back at me every night. That was rough.
Hey, Noodles, remember when, I'll never forget this, Stumpy, Stevie Thomas yelling at one of the goalies in camp, don't be scared of it, it's the black thing, get in front of it.
It was probably me, but who knows.
Wow. Well,
just think, Talbot also was on the last year of his deal.
That's
like,
the one.
This is a big year for him.
Spendy.
That's the one. He's been hemorrhaging money for 14 months. Talbot, unrestricted free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's not a good start again. He had a brutal year last year, and this year.
But I will say this. It took him, do you remember a couple of years ago, Anders Nielsen played four games in a row, and he woke up after that. Tuukka Rask, same last year. Like, it happens to starters. Like, that's why I'm not too worked up about it.
I think Carey Price is in a different category.
Should be.
Like, it's Carey Price.
Yeah.
Like that, I am surprised by that. Like, Talbot's different. I don't think it's even a mental. I think it's Todd McClellan saying, I don't trust you. I can't play you tonight. Where,
and on the Price thing, this is year one of his deal.
That's my point, Ray. He's the highest paid goalie in the league by a mile.
And he's the best goalie in the league. But he's having
he's
a rough
time.
He's not right. Put it this way. I understand what you're saying. You can't hide a quarterback either.
Right.
Could you imagine Aaron Rodgers being like, you're not playing this week. You've
That's
had some
once
troubles.
A week. They play 16 games.
Yeah, but he didn't play on Saturday. He hasn't played since last week, Carey Price.
But it's a lot different. I know what you're trying to say, but it'd be a non-story Thursday when he plays. If he doesn't play,
I guarantee you
Thursday,
this is not a non-story in Montreal.
For the non-educated people, it's a story.
Noodles, let's be honest. This is Carey Price.
Right.
He didn't play on Saturday because he'd been struggling. Now it's Tuesday and he's not playing again.
Right.
You can't convince me this isn't a massive story.
I'm not saying it's not a massive story. What I'm saying is if you dig deeper into it, I'm fine with the rest for him.
So it's
mentally,
rest.
Because you got to get the player playing well.
Okay, what if he goes on Thursday and he gives up six and gets pulled? Does he not play for a month?
No, you got to play him again and get him going. But it's to me, I'm sure they've had these internal conversations.
Well, obviously, they've come to
you
the
just
conclusion.
Found out he wasn't playing.
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted. This is great live radio. This is raw emotion. I can't believe he's not playing.
We got to
download
fly.
The podcast.
5:28.
All right, Ray. Thanks, Ray.
Can I open up my coffee crisp now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, good.
Do your thing.
Stick it in the car door.
All right. See you, buddy.
Oh, that's where it's going. See you, boys. Talk to you tomorrow.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. See what Bobby Mack has to say. He's more measured than I am. He'll join us at 6:20. You got to be as astonished as I am that Price isn't going tonight.
Your guy is supposed to get back on track, and Niemi gets a start over him. You're thinking... It's not like it's back-to-back or anything. It's just
I did
not
a hit
normal.
On it at 3:30.
I just assumed he was playing. Oh. I didn't even look into it. I'm just like, of course he's back in. They gave him the night off on Saturday. Anyway, Marcellus Wiley will join us on the Monday Nighter next week that has been moved from Mexico City back to L.A. And do the Giants have a chance at winning seven in a row?
No.
Marcellus Wiley will join us next. All right, Leafs are in L.A. tonight taking on the Kings. We're teeing that up throughout the afternoon. 10:30 puck drop. This is a tough one. Tough one to stay up for.
Will everyone make it through?
No.
I know we will, but I mean...
Yes, I believe I will. You guys will. Yeah. Are you here doing SportsCenter tonight?
I'm not. I'm actually going to be at home watching it, so
yeah.
I'm excited.
So I'm looking forward to the game, but these are tough swings, man. If you're up at like 6 a.m. with the kids and you're out to work at like 6:30... This will be Carlo Colaiacovo's first real test of morning radio.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's up at like 4:30. Is he going to stick around for an L.A. Kings Maple Leaf game tonight?
I could see him late night, early morning, blow his back out getting out of bed.
That might happen. Joining us down the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our NFL analyst, longtime NFLer Marcellus Wiley. What's up, Marcellus?
I'm doing great, man. What's going on, guys?
We're just getting cold up here in Canada. We wanted to ask you, though, this field in Mexico City, how did that go down? I mean, they decided to pull the game and go back to L.A. Did they send people down there to scout it out? I don't know if they're, like, you'd probably think there'd be a team of former players. I don't know what happened, but how'd this all go down?
Yes, interesting. I saw a memo. I guess it was directed to the entire fan base of both teams, but the NFL just announcing as they consulted with the NFLPA that this field, after being inspected, just didn't live up to standards. And you can see some of the pictures that are out there floating on the internet, and I must agree with the NFL and NFLPA. Certainly you don't want to put your guys in any condition that is hazardous for their health and is not up to standard in safety. And it's crazy because you're talking about globalizing the game and going outside our borders, which is a smart business play, but it still has to make sense for those participating in expanding our game. So any city, country out there that wants the NFL to enter their borders, you still have to live up to code. And it looks like for some reason, even though this was circled on a calendar for years, they're not ready for this moment, so they're going to lose it.
Yeah, and if you're not aware of it, the Rams-Chiefs game next Monday night was scheduled to be played in Mexico City, and they just announced this hour they're moving it back to L.A. And it sounded like there were a lot of players on both teams that were starting to leak it to the media, like, we're not playing. We're not going on that field. Which I can appreciate as a former player yourself. Have you ever been in a position like that where you looked at a field? I'm thinking of the field, old field in Philly. Washington's had a garbage field for a long time where you felt like I'm putting myself in danger playing on this field.
Yeah, great question, great point. You talk about players get hurt every single day in the National Football League, practice conditions, the playing game, the playing surface. Let's talk about the Coliseum where this game is now going to be played. And just last Sunday, they played the NFL game, but on Saturday, they had a college game. And I saw a couple of players looking at the turf, looking at the grass, a little side eye because it wasn't up to optimal conditions, but certainly nothing resembling Mexico. But yeah, my early years when they were trying to transition from AstroTurf to field turf, oh my God. Philadelphia, like you said, came to mind. I remember seeing a big, huge divot in the Philadelphia stadium. Cincinnati, my rookie year, we played in Cincinnati, and the field literally was sloped. It was, like, angled, and we were, like, sitting there stretching, and we were joking about it because we knew no better other than the fact that it wasn't level. Guys were, like, acting like they were rolling down the slope like it was a real hill, and it was just weird to look at it. And we were, like, no one protested. No one said they weren't going to play. But with today's enlightenment and today's mindset, it'll be funny to see us back in that moment because I'm sure we will have a different understanding and different response to those conditions.
Perfect segue into the news of the day in the NFL that Le'Veon Bell has just decided, I'm not going. I'm not playing. I'm not going to report. I'm not taking the money. I'm not signing that franchise tag. I can't believe it got to this point. How do you feel about this whole story and this culminating in Le'Veon Bell just not playing this year for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a bigger man than I. I talk about a man of principle, but there's two principles in this world, one with an AL and one with an LE. And one of them involves a lot of money, and he gave up a lot of one principle for the other principle. Respect to him for doing that. But I will peel a layer off and take it back to my own history. When I was a free agent, my first free agency deal, coming from Buffalo, going to San Diego, I had some security by some teams that weren't authorized to negotiate before the trade, before the free agency period. But I had security, meaning I knew that certain teams were not only wanting me, but the numbers that they were talking. Totally unethical, totally illegal, I get it, but totally occurring. and it's happened to me. That reminds me of Le'Veon Bell. The security he has to take this type of financial risk must come in the form that I was presented. It must come in that kind of fashion. And there's no way You're giving up $15+ million, taking all this heat, criticism, PR hit, your Q rating drops. You don't do that unless you know you got something in your back pocket. I'm sure he's secured forward thinking that some team has already positioned themselves in the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes. The only thing that I can see that really gives him the justification to pull this move.
Marcellus, I know you don't probably want to get too deep into that, but how was that information relayed to you? Was that through a teammate of yours with an agent that has the same agent as you? Is it through your own agent? Is it conversations with people that probably shouldn't have happened? Or how was the information relayed to you?
Yeah, I'm sure the statute of limitations.
You're good.
I think I'm good. And I don't think they really care that much. But, my agent, a lot of this happens at the combines. Let's be real. When you get all the agents in the same room with the coaches, with the GMs, the team presidents, the owners at times, over drinks at 9:30 at night after day one of the combine, not everyone's talking about the 40-yard dash. You know, they're talking about, hey, man, who do you represent? Who's on your roster? How can we make some of these moves? It happens in all sectors of life, in all aspects of business. My move to Fox, there was no ethical breach, but still, I knew a lot more than the public knew and a lot more than others knew surrounding that situation. So my agent had conversations with other teams informally, and that turned and materialized into something formal when you could make it formal based on the guidelines and deadlines. So I think Le'Veon has to be in that conversation with someone, some team or teams, because for him to take this risk, we saw Sean Gilbert do it. We've seen him do it and get paid. So it worked out once in NFL history to that magnitude. But that is a road less traveled, and I think he's traveling that road knowing that he has something hits to something great, which is going to reward him greater than the sacrifice.
With longtime NFLer, host of Speak for Yourself on FS1, Marcellus Wiley here on Overdrive. Booger McFarland came out of left field with a hot take late in the fourth last night where he just said Eli Manning is not a Hall of Famer, and he gave some details, and him and Witten kind of went back and forth. But shortly thereafter, Manning threw the winning touchdown, and that's his 36th game-winning drive, I guess, since 04. That's third in the league, only behind Drew Brees and Roethlisberger.
Was he on the buggy when he made it?
Oh, he was on the Boogermobile, man. Sparks were flying off that thing.
That thing is just something else.
It's such a pain in the ass. If you're in the stadium, it sucks. But the guy's won two Super Bowls, and he did it against, you know, the dynasty of all dynasties, as we know. Where do you stand on Eli in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, man, this is the conversation that happens everywhere in the locker room. The first question is, if you have to question you're a Hall of Famer, you're not a Hall of Famer. That's one. So that's a tough one for Eli. That goes against Eli. The second thing is, if you're on that fence, on the border of saying he's a Hall of Famer or not, which argument is easier? Is it easier to make an argument for him in the Hall of Fame or to keep him out the Hall of Fame? For me, it's easier to say he is in the Hall of Fame, and he's just barely fallen over the fence of getting in there, but I think he's a Hall of Famer. Two-time Super Bowl MVP, that's a short list of people, so because it's on that short list, I have to say I'm in favor for him. And then let's just go to the schoolyard argument, which is always, hey, is he better than the worst player in the Hall of Fame? And you got to start to think, and I hate to call out names, but there's some guys with less accolades, short-lived careers. Eli Manning or Kurt Warner, you know, and it's not even a diss to Kurt Warner, but two-time Super Bowl MVP. I understand Kurt Warner has his own accolades as well, but he's certainly in the same realm of a Kurt Warner. Some people say Terrell Davis, short-lived but amazing excellence at his peak. And these are recent inductees, so by those standards, which to me are great standards, Eli deserves to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think you're getting there in the end. Great stuff as always, Marcellus. We'll do it again next Monday.
All right, let's do it, guys. Stay warm.
You got it. There he is, Marcellus Wiley, host of Speak for Yourself on FS1, longtime NFL defensive end, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Find great deals on the Toyota RAV4 during Maple Toyota's 2018 clear out. Finance and lease rates from 0%. Visit the website mapletoyota.com. Some news out of the Golden State Warriors. They're trying to pretend like there might be some issues, and maybe the dynasty could actually be teetering a little bit. We'll tell you about that at 6 p.m. Bobby Mack in studio at 6:20.
Hey, B, how you doing, buddy?
There it is, the clip we've been waiting for all day. Dwayne Casey returning to Toronto tomorrow night with the Detroit Pistons. You have a chance to win a pair of tickets to the game. The phone lines are open right now, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. The eighth caller through picks up a pair of tickets to see the Raptors get back on the win streak tomorrow night at home. And last night, there's something about the New Orleans team. They always cause them problems. And Anthony Davis is a beast, and Holiday had a quality night. It was just an off night for the Raps. It's going to happen.
Right.
But this is the sign of a winning club.
Jump right back on.
You win a game. Nobody flinches. You know, okay, now you're 12-2. So what? You know, no one's going to panic. They lose tomorrow night against Detroit, which is an inferior team. And New Orleans is as well, but New Orleans is a legit, I think, playoff team in the West. They're a good team. But you lose to Detroit, maybe we start talking a little bit. Then they got Boston, I think, on Friday night. You lose that game, and then all of a sudden it's, let's really start talking.
It's a one-off.
I know that.
And they're a good team, and people don't need to get worked up about it.
No, exactly.
Play a lot of games, and you throw up stinkers.
You get a taste of winning, right? And you start throwing out the idea that they're going to win 65 games. And
I think ESPN or somebody came out with a piece that had the Raptors as number one in a power rankings, which is just below.
Come on. I mean, I hear you.
Well, guess who was number two?
I would guess Golden State was number two.
I think it's like the Raps are what, 12-1, and
they're 12-2 now. Although
12-2,
so are the Warriors. They lost last night, and there was some controversy that came out of that game. And people are going to try to spin this into making this whole season actually interesting. I can already picture what's coming out of this.
Wow!
And there's some news about their game tonight. I think they have Atlanta in town, which their bench could sleepwalk through a win against Atlanta. They're going to destroy this team tonight, but there's a major player that will not be playing tonight, and there's a reason behind it. We'll tell you about that. Bob McKenzie will join us in studio. Leafs-Kings in L.A. tonight. We might catch up with Luke Robitaille. 50% shot he calls in. We have no idea.
That'd be good.
Let's go 15.
15% chance he calls in. If he does, that'd be great to catch up with him. If it doesn't, it happens. So that's coming up in the final hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.